Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Today we're going to talk about the heart. It's been a little while since we've talked about the heart, and we're going to talk specifically about our old friends of beta blockers. We know, I think, that beta blocker therapy in patients with an MI reduces infarct size and early mortality when started early. We're also told that it lowers the risk of death when continued long term. There is strong evidence supporting beta blockers, mostly from randomized control trials of ST elevation MIs. Patients with non-ST elevation, there's a little bit weaker studies, but I think in collecting some of the benefit of beta blockers, they include there's a decreased oxygen demand due to reduction in both heart rate, blood pressure, and contractility. There's decreased risk of ventricular fibrillation, decreased automaticity. Bradycardia that comes with beta blockers prolongs diastole and therefore, in theory at least, improves coronary diastolic perfusion. It improves left ventricular diastolic function. There appears to be a slowing of the yearly rate of progression of coronary atherosclerosis in patients both with and without MI, and they say that there's inhibition of platelet aggregation. So these are some really good things on paper. If they're doing all these things, the question becomes, how long after an MI do you continue a drug that has all of these good benefits? Now, let's not forget that these drugs have side effects and also that they're not tolerated by everyone. You've chosen a paper from the American Journal of Medicine published last year in 2015, volume 127. It starts on page 939. It asks the question, does beta blocker treatment after MI reduce mortality? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this is a meta-analysis, and they found about 60 trials with over 80,000 patients. They did a good search and did everything the right way. It's really a very complex paper, so I'm going to try to hit the high points in terms of the main takeaway messages. I think the big contribution that they made with this was they looked at they divided the trials into two groups, and one they called trials from the reperfusion era, which means that at least half of the patients in the study either got a thrombolytic, revascularization, or were placed on statin and aspirin. And the remainder of the study, so that was 12 studies with about 49,000 patients, there were 48 older trials where less than half of the patient got some form of reperfusion. They had about 31,000 patients. So lots of, so there, and it's worth noting of those 12 trials in the reperfusion era with 49,000 patients, a huge chunk of that, about 80% of those patients came from the COMMIT trial, which was a very large, single, well-designed randomized trial. So what did they find? They looked at when they looked at the earlier studies before reperfusion, they found a clear benefit to beta blockers in terms of survival and lots of other outcomes, relative risks on the order of 0.8 to 0.9, pretty significant stuff. On the other hand, when they looked at the reperfusion era, where people are getting reperfusion, where they're often also, as in the COMMIT trial, they're being put on ACE inhibitors, they're being put on, aspirin, they're being put on, statins and other drugs that we kind of would think of as the usual treatment nowadays, they saw much less benefit. They saw the reinfarction rates were decreased, but the number needed to treat was over 200. There was an improvement in anginal symptoms, which makes sense in terms of beta blockers and myocardial oxygen consumption. The number needed to treat was about 26. Those benefits were mostly in the first 30 days. The caveat there is that there wasn't a ton of data from many studies in terms of timing of benefits. So that's kind of a limited conclusion, but it seems like most of the benefit was in the first 30 days, and that does make clinical sense. On the other hand, patients given beta blockers in the reperfusion era had greater rates of heart failure and cardiogenic shock, number needed to harm of about 80 and 90, respectively. Yeah, and there were data on all-cause mortality were really limited. In fact, only two relatively small studies from the reperfusion era. And in general, while they say, well, we had 80,000 patients, if you really drill down and start looking at specific outcomes by group, you had, in some cases, many fewer patients and many fewer trials. So I think the bottom line for me is that it really makes me question what we thought we knew about long-term treatment for all patients with an acute MI with a beta blocker and the benefit versus harm of that. I think, you know, their conclusion, and I agree with it, is that, you know, there is a significant benefit early, probably in the first 30 days. But beyond that, I think we have to think about which patients benefit. And I think the evidence of benefit is much less clear. There may be a greater benefit for those that have significant scar, significant reduction in ejection fraction, but perhaps not for others. And I think there's, you know, actually room for additional trials to try to sort this out, you know, given what they've uncovered here.
It's amazing, isn't it, that, you know, we're decades into the beta blocker use and we still have these significant questions.
Well, the landscape has changed, though. I mean, you know, you had back in the pre-reperfusion era, you know, these patients were being treated very differently and there was potential for beta blockers to perhaps do more good. Mm. But now that we've added these other interventions, statins, aspirin, thrombolytics, reperfusion, stenting, now that additional gain might have blunted any potential benefit of the beta blockers, and so they may have become unnecessary long-term for many patients. Again, it's a complex analysis. It sounds like they had tens of thousands of patients, and they did for some outcomes, but not for all of them. There are some pretty broad confidence intervals around some of these, but I think it does make sense, and we are seeing that in other cases that, you know, we have to look at this as an evolving landscape, and I like the contribution that they made of saying, okay, what are the older studies, what do the newer studies show, and it was quite different.
I think perhaps as a society we're a little bit challenged in the sense that once a drug gets on the market, it's hard to find money to go back, as you say, the landscape changes, and restudy it in a new environment. Most of the time the patents have worn off and the income that companies can make is reduced, and there's not a lot of motivation to go back and restudy these in a different landscape.
That's true. And, you know, I think there are some alternative ways of doing this other than clinical trials, using existing patient data, sort of, you know, outcomes kind of analyses. And those weren't included in this, but I think that may be a worthwhile thing to do, to look at outcomes, try to do, you know, use some techniques to match similar patients who didn't get a beta blocker and see what the outcomes are.
You know, certainly some of these big health systems, the VA, Kaiser, et cetera, that have the kind of databases you're talking about, offer an enormous opportunity to do that. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.